Can two people be serious for 1 minute?
Is this a morning? Is this one of those rock morning?
I've been watching. I've been listening to a lot of Tom and Tom. Yeah, on the way to taking my kids to school.
Yeah,
Shock Jack.
For those of you waiting for me to say welcome to the Nerd Brand Podcast, well, there you go. Welcome to the Nerd Brand Podcast. We don't really have.
You didn't
starts.
Know you were there already.
Yeah, seriously. Like you should be listening by now and going like, oh, here we go.
Somebody walks into the room like, what the hell's going on in here?
Well, I mean, we're down one member, but she's probably busy or doing something. I've seen her calendar. So, you know, if she came in, she'd
busy
be like, nope, leaving. She's got calls and meetings and she's got to go to the, no, I don't want to do that because that sounds like I'm belittling
doctor?
It.
Grocery? Post
no, office? The farm and garden. Is that what it's called?
Lawn and garden.
Lawn and garden.
Lawn Expo. And garden Expo.
Yeah. So that's out there a lot. We were at Jacob. We were at Boomba's and so many people are going.
Yeah, like half the people there.
It was like, how many people were there Monday? Probably like 30, 20?
I would say 20-something.
Yeah.
Not 30, but yeah, above 15 for sure, closer to 20, 20, 25.
Yeah, so if you want to do some networking and you're a small business owner and, or sole proprietor, go to Boomba's on Mondays at 11:30. It's a yep. Boomba's on Hirschborn. Lane Bunsen.
Hirschborn.
Right by the liquor barn and yep. AT&T across yep. the road. From
so if you have a terrible time networking that day, you can just go right over to the liquor barn and forget about it.
speaking from my experience.
Yeah, right. You can drink a Boomba.
Yeah. You can drink a Boomba, but you know, I don't think they'll give you the bottle behind the bar, though. That's where the difference is.
Would cost
you know,
a lot. Like, would cost
you don't
a
have to
more.
Ask. That's
why
a mistake of it.
Just take it.
Anyways, yeah, that was fun. But everybody, half the people in there, a lot of the builders are out there, roofers,
landscaping.
Bears. Yeah, a bunch of folks are out there.
Bears.
Squirrels.
Squirrels. Yeah, Mitch's internet enemies, the squirrels.
Damn you. Damn you, squirrels.
Yeah, Mitch is, you know, you really are, it's like, stay off my lawn, damn squirrels. Like, that's your life.
No, hey, the squirrels are what keep my dog occupied all day long.
Yeah.
He just lays at the back door and watches them all day. That's his entertainment. So they do serve some purpose.
Yeah, that's probably me in like 30 years in a wheelchair in a home that's just staring out the window watching squirrels.
Or frogs.
Or frogs.
It's taken a turn.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, you know. Anyway, ready, set, brand guidelines. So on this episode, we're talking about the Super Bowl. And no, we're not going to talk about the ads that play during the Super Bowl because we did that already.
A couple of times.
Yeah, so we thought we'd talk about the NFL itself. And no, we're not going to play the music because you will get sued. Well, not even get sued. You get a C&D first. And then if you keep using it, you get sued. You know, you can't use the... I'm not going to even whistle it because I don't want that trouble.
Dun, dun, dun.
Everybody uses that off brand.
Right. Just add an extra like beat in there. Be like, yeah, that's
yeah.
Meant to be. I mean, that's the, was it Ice Baby mentality?
Yeah. we got the brand guidelines for the NFL in front of us. Thanks, John, for printing those off.
It's my absolute pleasure.
Yeah. People don't realize how many pages that is, actually, I think.
I thought it was pretty short for a brand like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 47 pages.
Wow.
Yeah. That's good enough.
It's 40. People are listening right now going like, what?
I mean, for a brand that has that many like legs out in the real world.
Well, it's a brand that owns one day of the week. During the fall and winter.
Sometimes two.
Yeah. I mean, if not two, yeah.
You don't count if you can't.
Thursday, like, Monday, and Sunday. But right. Sunday football, three, I mean, that is such like guaranteed a football day. They own the day.
Right.
Yeah. So you're going to hear in this conversation on the Nerd Brand Podcast, half the room knows what they're talking about, and the other half is going to play along and nod with regards to sports ball.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs. So every brand, it's been pretty consistent. I mean, over 50 years. I don't know what number bowl are we on.
I can never remember.
Yeah, I would have to look at it.
Roman numeral.
I know. You would have thought they would have like switched and just done numbers after 50 because I know it's past Super Bowl 50. I know we're
it's after 50.
Yeah,
it's not like a set.
Google that, Mitch.
I'm going to right now.
Yeah.
Drum. Well, if you're doing it, then I'm not doing
Problem is, if it's a Roman numeral, I may not be.
Well, you know, it's also helpful to have like a fifth person in the room, and they just kind of sit in the chair on a laptop, and they kind of make sure we are accurate with what we say. But we're going to get there. We're getting there. Because, you know, we say a lot of things, and I'm just guessing. So, you know, you can correct later.
I
want to
say 57 is my guess.
Yeah. That might sound right.
What's your guys' guess before Mitch finds it?
What year is it? It's 2024.
Super Bowl LV111.
That sounds like 57.
That's 58.
Right? Oh, it's 58. Yeah, 58. Ooh, 58. Yeah. Whoa, close. Right. You win the
close, but you were wrong.
You were wrong.
Oh, shame.
See, I'm okay with Roman numerals with the V's and the I's. It's when it gets...
Yeah, the L started throwing off. Yeah, pretty soon they have an M in there.
Well, it's an M in the room. No, C.
C? What's C?
C should be 100.
Is it?
Oh.
M is 1,000.
Right? Yeah, M is 1,000. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's...
I don't think we'll be around when they reach that one.
Yeah, I don't know if the NFL, I don't know if the world will be around.
I'm planning on it, but
it's on my to-do list.
Well, the brand guide has strict standards for how the shield is displayed and where. And also, we all know about the copywriting with the music. And so it's audio, graphical, like even, you know, can't sell shirts with it on there without permission, you know. Mm-hmm. So they keep a pretty tight lid on what you can and can't do with this thing. Even photography styles. Mitch, you know more about photography than I do. So I don't know. Make stuff up. Talk. I'm kidding.
Well, I mean, can't we maybe backtrack a little bit? I mean,
he's going to make stuff up and talk.
For those 47 years ago, I mean, maybe back up a little bit and kind of remind people what a brand guide is and what it's for. I mean, a brand guide, if you're a brand, whether you sell shoes, cars, pharmaceuticals, whatever the case, a brand guide basically tells the world, these are our colors, our fonts, this is what our logo looks like, this is how you apply all of those things. And going on to things like you said about photography, this is our photo style. This is when you use photography to sell or represent our brand, this is what that photography looks like. This is the language you use when talking about our brand. These are words that you use, down to single words that you use when discussing our brand. It may even say, these are words not to use when talking about our brand, especially for something that's, let's say, it's a highly regulated industry like insurance or the medical field or things like that. They have to get really, really granular in those things because they could get in legal trouble if you don't speak in a certain way or portray their brand in a certain way. They get into legal issues with the private sector, but also with the government. So a brand guide tells the world, this is how we represent ourselves when we talk about our brand in any medium, whether it's audio, video, billboards, sandwich boards, whatever the case.
Sandwich boards.
So to John's point, it is surprising that a brand like the NFL would only be 45 pages long, whereas you go to another corporate brand, and I have one in mind, but I won't name it because they're not paying us any sponsorship. But their brand guide was well into 100 pages. Part of that was because they had other tentacles of their brand that, you know, other sub-brands and things like that. So you had to go into descriptions and information about how you represent the sub-brands. Mm-hmm. So in one case, I guess in one sense, it does seem brief for the NFL, but at the same time, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Where it gets more granular, I guess, is when you start talking with the individual teams, and they probably have their own brand guides.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Yeah.
But then they have to kind of fold that into the broader brand, which is the NFL. That's interesting.
Yeah, the NFL's very tight with it too. That's probably one reason it's not super expansive, because they keep a pretty tight lip on they allow people to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like that's actually another aspect to go with it. Like, how do the teams handle with that? Because obviously, since they're under the NFL umbrella.
The parent brand,
and they have their own brand. So, like, you can only get official jerseys and uniforms from NFL-sponsored, like, providers, you know, vendors that you can purchase from. So, I mean, it's definitely a different aspect.
That was a surprising part. I mean, I skimmed through it. I didn't read it in detail, but I didn't see anything in there about how the teams use the NFL brand.
How they incorporate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like what they're allowed to do with it, because there's got to be rules. There has to be.
Yeah. I mean, they've got pretty extensive bullet point list on what you do with photography. where you can get stock from, but right. also what you do with phone photography taken, because they're pretty clear. They depict the brand a lot through obviously imagery, right? And they say that in here. I mean, they have, it's kind of funny. They got like, maybe it's just how it's printed out, but they got like two overviews, the NFL brand overview, and it's a two column with several paragraphs. And then there's another overview with another paragraph, general guidelines. And then I guess it's the signature of like, what is this?
Probably Roger Goodell.
Yeah, the commissioner.
It's like an open letter.
Yeah. And then general guidelines continues, and that's when it gets into photography. And then because of the size of it, it has a table of contents. And that's kind of when you know, like, this thing has evolved for a while. But logo usage has always been the thing that people always think, like, yeah, here's the logo. Like, we've gotten brand guidelines before where it's like two colors and the logo, and then the logo in black. And we're just kind of like, yeah, but how much space around it is allowed for any co-branding or ads or website, blah, 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 whatever you want to. That's never in there. And this has it extensively. Well,
having something is better than nothing, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
They even go in, I think, on the second to last page or something like that. They go into a file name structure of all the logos, and they give a whole library of what the file names are for CMYK, RGB, all that stuff.
Wow. Well, and that, you know, you can make a brand guide as deep or as shallow, I guess, as you want it to. It, on one hand, it's a very utilitarian document because it has to be usable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when you get an instruction manual for building a shelf that you bought off Amazon,
right.
And the English is a translation of a foreign language. And sometimes if they haven't done it well enough, uh-huh. it makes it extremely difficult to use. So with a brand guide, it's the same way. You have to keep in mind the audience that you could be talking to, a fairly broad audience, a number of different types of vendors and mm-hmm. clients, et cetera. So you have to have the language explicit and simple enough that they can be applied without screwing up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another kind of a challenge.
You don't have to go through 300 pages. That's, you know, to the point of it being sort of long, but also brief enough that it's consumable, and you don't have to pour through 1,000 pages just to figure out if you're allowed to do something.
Go ahead.
I was done.
I mean, I've seen brand guides that it's like, it's almost like they were talking to themselves. You know what I mean? And at the same time, they really, really liked talking about themselves.
Well, isn't that like every business? I mean, aren't they all a little bit narcissistic in that way?
Well, I just never thought of a brand guide necessarily as a sales tool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you're in the creative department, so it would make sense. But over here in sales, Jacob and I are like, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get it. But yeah, I mean, it should be a functional document that's easy to understand and easy to apply.
Yeah.
If your standards are too complicated, number one, people are going to mess it up. Mm-hmm. Which completely voids the reason for why you have a brand guide in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And second, it people won't use it. Mm-hmm. If it isn't easy to understand, they're just going to, I'll do what I want.
Well, and that's kind of one of the things that
I've control your brand.
John and I were talking about in web, you know, when you say like, here's the font, that's great. I get it. I can read. I know what font it is. Problem is there's six different heading types plus a paragraph, quotes, and then what we call like a coded type thing in web, where it's sort of like that even space, mostly lawyers use it. The sizes and pixels and M's of those listed is extremely helpful. Otherwise, we're kind of like literally eyeballing it and hoping we got it right. And having that in the brand guide helps. And NFL doesn't have that, but typically those are found in a web kit. So I know how big a button is. I know how big the text and the font on the button is. I know what the color of the button when it's highlighted or has been pressed is. You know, that's actually helpful to speed up any sort of project if it has a web component on it, because people think in web, we just know these things, and we actually don't. You have to treat us like a bag of rocks. We have no idea what we're looking at, because you're like, oh, I'll make a website. And we've been handed things from business cards to a photo of a sign by a street. Can't make that up. True story. And, you know, we're just like, sometimes we're just shooting from the hip. People are like, you got it wrong. And I'm like, well, this is all I had to work with. Well, so what did you think? You gave me a banana and a kaleidoscope and told me to get to work. I don't know.
It's a mindset. It's like, well, you make things.
I can go a lot of different ways.
It's a mindset. It's when people know you make things, they just assume you can make anything.
Right.
You make websites. Well, then you can make logos too, right? No. Just
or
because
fix Wi-Fi.
It's like saying to somebody, well, you work on cars, right? Well, you can fix my refrigerator. Yeah. No, not necessarily. They're different things.
Yeah.
That's why you said you've got a brand guy, but you may also have a web kit. Now, I think it makes sense for some brands to include in their brand guide if they're a heavily web-based company.
Yeah.
They should probably have their web kit folded in.
Yeah, where it makes sense to have those two hand in hand.
Right.
I mean, it was one of the things, actually, I wanted to look up real quick. You mentioned how they have these different, like, older logos that they had. And I was like, man, how many times has NFL actually changed? And it looks like it's about 7 to 8 times they've changed over the years. I'm like, this is interesting to me because I'm like, that's such a, like, a iconic logo. But yeah, they've changed it to modernize it to make sense. So it approaches to that level. It's like, and it makes sense to do that. Like, and then I bet you with your web kit and then with your other designs, you probably have two different logos that you put in there because your web kit, you can make it look different on a regular basis instead of just stamped on paper.
Well, there's a thing called logo adaptability that applies not only to print and physical items, but also applies to web. And logo adaptability was one of those, I guess maybe a year ago was a buzzword, John. I know I've gone through marketing a bit, but we never really stumbled upon it because a lot of people, like, it's so new. Branding in this town is so new and misunderstood. By the way, if you want to know what branding is, Google it. Google gives you the output of the definition of branding in the search result page. It's quite funny, and it's pretty similar to what we have on our website that nobody reads, but there it is.
Well, it's a lot to do with cattle, right?
Yeah, it has to do with cattle and ostriches. So, but logo adaptability is a big deal. Like, if anybody,
too, people,
if anybody
have a field day,
if anybody has ever drank a Coke, and look at Coca-Cola and how they use their logo from web to the bottles, and it's not the same. And that's the adaptability, but it's still Coke. Like on the bottle caps, you know, for the glass, old fashioned glass bottles, like it says Coke. It doesn't really say much else, but it says the Coca-Cola company, maybe on a delivery truck, right? I mean, it's just, you have literally square footage and room, you know, so you have to figure out how to do a thing. Because if you take that NFL logo and you think about an iPhone, you only have, well, you used to have standard 320 pixels across, you know, if you're holding in a portrait mode, right? That's your width. That when you look at Google ads, banner ads sizes, those sizes were developed because of mobile devices. There wasn't like some mysterious internet god that says, this banner ad must be 250 to 325 pixels wide. That wasn't like arbitrarily decided. It came about because of phones. And then you have the wide, the long banner ad. It's not as tall. That's like 728 by some ridiculous 30 pixels high.
90, I think.
Yeah, 90. And that's because of the iPad. That's where that come from. And then Apple defined in mobile the width between objects. This is the other fun thing we hear sometimes in web. There's too much white space. Well, if you look on your mobile phone, your thumb is supposed to leave, it's supposed to be about 40 pixels. So Apple on their guides has that listed because they do have their kits on there, on theirs. And it says 40 pixels and it explains that little nugget as to why. So Apple really did like start a lot of this, you know, thinking about your brand, adapting it digitally and how it's used. And even though Coca-Cola was ahead of them, but Apple still, when mobile devices came out, everybody had to really rethink how things are used because you don't have that much room on a phone. Back on subject.
That was the NFL.
Yeah. So here, does anybody want to read off the core values and give opinions on that? Because they actually have them. It's kind of interesting.
It's a name off core value is teamwork, excellence, community, tradition, innovation, integrity.
Innovation jumps out at me because all those other ones can be readily associated with sports. The whole idea of team sports. Innovation is like, how much can you innovate football before it becomes not football?
Well, and I think what they do with that, or probably part of the reason that they updated it recently, is because of all the concussion thing and how they work on innovating the more safer. Like right now, a lot of time, I don't know if you guys have been watching the playoffs. I normally don't, but a lot of stuff is the Amazon or the AWS or something like that. It's a program that's meant to AI football to prevent injuries it's all, and so that's their innovation. So now their whole innovation is the safety.
Yeah, when it comes, yeah,
That's what they're trying to associate that with. That's what I would believe, and like why I'd be like, all right, that's probably weird.
That's a good point, because they have been pushing that really hard. Mm-hmm. And yeah, then you could also apply the innovation thing with the way they're officiating has been innovative with the use of replay and camera. I mean, the cameras and the pylons and the end zone and things like that. I mean, it's there's innovation on that side too. Problem with watching hockey on TV, and they've toyed with different ways to alleviate this. You can't see the puck. You just see a bunch of guys running around swinging sticks at each other.
It is harder. There's times at one point where they were trying to make it so like you could actually, it leaves a trail behind the puck.
Yeah, they highlighted it.
It highlighted it. And then what they did is they would change the color according to its speed. So in that way,
well, that makes it easier. That
helps.
So in that way, it's like, if it's that much faster, like, yeah, it's going to be red. Be like, oh man, this person really put power behind it. Kind of more that mentality. Mm-hmm. They usually do show the speed of how fast it was. Kind of like baseball with the pitchers. But
and it's like gamifying it is what they're trying, I guess. Okay.
But they don't do it anymore.
Mm-mm. Yeah, that was like mid-2000s right there.
Yeah. It's like they found it. Hey guys, we found this effect in video. Let's use it. And then let's just exhaust it. There used to be a thing years ago when I was at a company, me and another guy, we worked in web. And everything that was coming from the designers had a gradient on it.
Oh, yes.
And we just railed against that, making
gradients,
fun of it.
Drop shadows.
The thing is, in web people are smart asses. And so we end up getting a hold of something and we just start making jokes of it. And it just lasts for months because it's so funny to us. So just FYI. But that was one of the things. It's like every time something went wrong, like, oh, we ran out of coffee in the break room. We'll put a gradient on it. You know, that's shit.
Yeah, gradients, drop shadows, transparency. Yeah.
I love a good drop shadow.
Anyways, that's this episode of the Nerd Brand Podcast. We hope you watch the NFL thing, the Super Bowl, whatever.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, that goes on.
You can't say that. The big game.
The big game. That big game. We hope you like this
episode. We can fix it in post.
Yeah, we'll fix it in post. You can watch the big game. Have fun. Don't hate your friends, other teams. You know, because you still may have to talk to them later. Anyways, we'll see you next week.
Did you know everything is an ad?
What do you mean?
All expressions related to a brand are an ad.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah, don't let overthought advertising strategies get you down. Just have your why and a budget and leave the rest to the nerds. To chime in on all the latest branding and advertising pointers, listen to the Nerd Brand Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more.